Good evening, everybody. So for this evening, we're going to be discussing goodness. Goodness. And so with that thought, I tried to just list out some of those things that I think are good. And so I've thought about sunrises and seeing joy and laughter in the face of a child. A little bit biased. I think Evie's laugh and smile are the best in the world. So the smell of delicious food, helping someone in need, upbeat music, hugging someone who's experiencing grief, puppies and kittens and all the other things that they make YouTube videos out of, encouraging words, the softness of a rabbit's fur. And so we all have different experiences as far as what we would call good. And that there is even a growing industry right now, ASMR. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's autonomous sensory meridian response. And so that is the tingling feeling that you sometimes get, like on your scalp and running down your back. It's kind of like the chills that you feel when something is exceptionally good. And so it is a low-grade feeling of euphoria that they now make videos about to try to basically get out of people. And people love them. They watch these videos by the millions, right? Because we love to feel good. We love to experience good things. And we never seem to get tired of them. And so for anyone who holds anything to be good, chances are you have a little bit of trouble with moderation in that particular area. And that is one of those things where in life we find these things that are good and we can't get enough of it. And so for me, I love chocolate. And I understand that there has to be some sense of moderation, but I struggle. And other people in enjoyment of even good things, we understand that whenever we start to displace or put something in the wrong priority with a wrong emphasis, that we can take even good things in life. And as it's been said, you take a good thing and you make it a God thing, and then it can actually become a bad thing. And so we look out and we experience all the goodness and things in life that God has created, and we understand that whenever we're talking about what is truly good, and whenever we desire to be filled, that we have to look beyond what is here in creation, that we must look higher to God Himself, and that is where we're going to get that source of everlasting good, good that will quench our thirst because it is a goodness that is forever. Looking and seeing what a young man once said to Jesus, calling him good teacher. And Jesus looks back to him and says, you know, why do you call me good? Only God is good. So this challenge on Jesus' part, whether this man was recognizing him as God or merely ascribing to him the reflection of goodness that we see and experience in the world. So as God is truly good, it's only from God that we can experience goodness without limit. And as we've been looking at all the fruits of the Spirit, so though we see reflections of these beautiful aspects of God's character in the world, so even as Micah was saying earlier, we must rely on Him as the supreme source of all good things. And one of the greatest things, I think, as I've taken time to study and think on more deeply just the fruits of the Spirit, so as a good, good Father, so we can look to God who graciously gives us all good things. And so if you have your Bible with you tonight, we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 5, thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, that is the work of God in us. One thing that we've tried to take note of every single time we've met is that these fruits of the Spirit are things that God is cultivating in us, that these aren't merely things that we can regulate or legislate amongst ourselves. It's not this self-effort, you know, that I want to be good. We truly look to God and understand that He is the one that is working in us to work these things about. We've also already discussed love and joy, peace, patience, and kindness. And one of the things that we'll always notice is that there is somewhat of an overlap sometimes between the different attributes, the different things that we talk about at the fruit of the Spirit. So even as we've talked before about kindness, it's important to note that when we look back at the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, that kindness and goodness are used almost synonymously. They go back and forth, and that's for good reason. Goodness, I would say, is different than kindness. That kindness is expressed in seeing how God treats us and is the way that we should treat one another. And that goodness, as a quality and as a fruit, is a matter of who God is. It's a matter of being in alignment with what He intends. And it's also a matter of discerning what other things are also good. And so since God is cultivating goodness in us, we understand that we reflect the goodness of God. That we are good when we are in alignment with what He intends, and that we are able to discern what is good through His Word and through everything that He has created all around us. And so that, as far as an outline, as we consider this, is what we're going to be focusing on tonight. So again, God is good and we reflect Him. That we are good when we're in alignment with what He intended, and that we are able to discern what is good through Him. So with that, I'm going to read Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to go ahead and read this entire section, so we'll begin at verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Little note, not that we really need to focus on this, but these things are not good. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Let's pray. Father, as we think on everything that you are, Father, we thank you that you are good. And we thank you that you have created us and that we were made, Father, intended by you to be good. And despite our sin, Father, we know that you are good in your provision, that through Jesus Christ we can be forgiven, that we can be made right with you. And Father, through your Spirit, you begin working in us so that way we can do good things, that even now we can reflect your goodness and we can live and love as we ought to. And Father, we look forward to that day when all things will be made right and we can be complete and we can be whole in that goodness. Father, that we can truly reflect and honor and glorify you and be as your good creation and your good people as you have intended. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, considering those three points, beginning with number one, God is good and we reflect him. Psalm 118:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. In Genesis chapter 1, so go into a lengthy section here, verses 26 through 31, it explains who we are and who we were created to be. So if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there as well. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Without the benefit of the screen, it's always good to have eyes on the text. And so I think that helps us kind of keep track with what's going on. Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So again, God had already declared all these things good. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food." Verse 30, "And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Goodness. That is the way that God described that it was good. Everything that he made, operating according to the way that he intended it, was good. Humanity, you created in his image, God declared good. We were made good because God first was good. There needs to be an obvious caveat here, because we know and understand that we did not stay this way. We did not remain perfectly good. God is good, and we still reflect some of that goodness as his image bearers on earth, who were meant to rule this world. But we see in our lives and in our dominion right now that we do not fulfill what was intended, that we are not good in everything that we do, because we have turned aside and we have gone our own way. And God is no longer God over all, but we are in rebellion before him. And so in all of that, we understand that when we are failing to meet God's intention, that we are not good. But that was not what was intended originally. Looking at a second point, we are good when we're in alignment with what he intended. The natural world was cursed along with us, but much of it still reflects God's goodness because it operates according to its purpose. We do not. We ourselves should be full of goodness, but are not. Romans chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Try not to be too derailed here as far as diving into the book of Romans, because I want everyone to be home by halftime. But we understand, thank you for those who left. I don't even think, yeah, I mean, kickoff yet. Absolutely, Romans is good. So again, we understand that there's no one that is good. So again, everything that was intended in us, so we just read in Genesis chapter 1, God looks at everybody, looks at everything he's created, and he says, it's good. Now we look in Romans, and he's like, there's none that are good. So we understand that in sin, that everything became broken, and that we understand that in sin is death, and everything that is suffering and pain and wrong about this world, and it all started there by us choosing to go against God, and us choosing for us, truly, without looking too much back in Genesis chapter 3, that at the point where we decided that we would determine what was good, you look and see with Eve and the fruit that she decided that it was good, and that Adam with her also ate, that we made this determination, rejecting God's word, rejecting God's authority, rejecting God's goodness, that we would determine for ourselves what is good, and everything fell apart at that point. So how do we address this? How is this made right? Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 and 11, "For if while we were God's enemies," so while we are not good, "we were reconciled to him through the death of his son." So in that reconciliation, right, we were brought from that position of being bad to being not bad. "How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?" And now we are good. "Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." So before I can talk about anything as far as us, as people, being good, acknowledging sin and recognizing our brokenness, that we were good, fell from that goodness, now what do? We understand that in Christ, that this imputation, this placing upon, this switching of Jesus for ourselves has righted what was made wrong by us. Christ's reconciliation was complete. Not just the forgiveness of sins, but the imputation of righteousness. We are not just not bad. So we are made now good before God because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. Still a work in progress, because we understand that though we are accepted in the Beloved, that there is still work to be done, that we are not complete yet. We look forward to that day, to that resurrection, when all of us will be made complete. But for now, our position before God is right in Christ. Praise God, right? Because again, even if we'd just been made it halfway, even if he just cleared my debt, I would have been in debt like 5 minutes later. All right, so I wouldn't have been able to make it on my own. And that's the goodness of God, that he has supplied everything that we need, because we wouldn't have been able to do anything past that. We would have gone right back to the way that we were. So again, in Christ, our reconciliation is complete. And so now I can get to my point, Romans chapter 15, verse 14, where we have one of the other occurrences of this word goodness in the New Testament. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness. We had to talk about that for a little bit, a little context. You yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. So looking at the Romans, Paul was able to say that morally they're full of goodness, intellectually they're filled with knowledge, and functionally they were competent to instruct one another. They were where they needed to be. Being complete or mature in Christ is a holistic thing. It is something that affects all of our life and who we are. I've come back to this concept of what it is for a Christian to do what is right again and again. Righteousness, or as we're considering for this evening, goodness, must affect our position, our beliefs, our motivations, our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. It must be all the way through. For us to really be anything that we can call good, that goodness must be throughout, must saturate us. And so what is good? Goodness is reflecting God's character, being what he intended. Is it a work of our own? As we've already looked at, the answer is no. So we're not able to work out this goodness in and of ourselves. Even for the Romans, they are not full of goodness because they decided that they were going to be full of goodness. The Holy Spirit worked in them to bring about the obedience of faith that gave way to a renewed mind and right spirit that produces a life of godliness. What part did they play? Because again, sometimes when we talk about particularly the fruits of the Spirit, and we understand that it is the work of God in us, and we wonder, you know, how do we respond? How do we act rightly in response to this situation that God is working in us? And we can see here this idea that I'd like to point out, that they were filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another, which means that they had received good instruction and that they retained good instruction. So there's a tremendous amount of instruction available. You go online, you go to a Christian bookstore, tremendous amount of instruction is available. But we also must be discerning in those things that we are studying concerning God and his word. And it's not that good instruction is in and of itself a guarantee somehow of our conformity to the word of God. I always ask people not to hold me to that. So I have a master's degree in theology, right? That does not mean that I have by any stretch of the imagination made it yet. It is not just good instruction. You know, I give you a book, you read it, everything else like that, you understand it. That does not mean that we are through that going to be made perfect. Again, we rely on the Holy Spirit working in us, but the means and one of the graces of God that we have is good instruction, is good teaching. That's the reason why we emphasize the importance of Bible study. It's why we emphasize the importance of being under sound preaching and teaching, so that through these means, the Holy Spirit works in us so that we can reflect the goodness of God. And so, though we cannot, again, manufacture goodness in and of ourselves, we can at least do right by putting ourselves in those circumstances where we can receive good instruction, where we can study God's word, and we can allow the Holy Spirit, you know, to work in and through us, through his word, by us observing what is truly good, and that is God. Point number three, we are able to discern what is good. Looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, so again, not that these are random passages, but again, I was looking particularly at those areas where goodness, the same word for goodness was used throughout the Old and New Testament. And in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." A little parenthetic thought here, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. So in this passage, Paul contrasts darkness and light and those that are disobedient with the obedient. He exhorts the Ephesians to live as children of light and explains that the result of living as a child of light will be goodness, righteousness, and truth. These types of things please the Lord. Righteousness reflects God's justice, while truth is a reflection of God's integrity and reality. So there is a need for right understanding as to what light is, because Paul exhorts them to not be deceived. Again, the importance of having a discerning mind and being careful whenever we venture out to try to learn something. There's many out there that would lead us astray, that would focus on the traditions of men, you know, even as Paul talks about doctrines of demons, that there is much that would bring us to a point of a counterfeit Christianity, a counterfeit gospel. And that was one of Paul's concerns in Galatians, and even what we've been talking about in 2 Corinthians, that there is a way of presenting truth that is wrong, and that there is a way of presenting an almost truth that steers us in the wrong direction towards making the gospel about us rather than about Jesus Christ. And so again, do not be deceived. Whatever we may understand of goodness, it seems to be constantly in a context that emphasizes truth and a right understanding of who God is. Paul's exhortations to not be deceived and to find out what pleases the Lord should be an encouragement to us. We can seek, find, and know the goodness of God, that we can live as children of light in him. This discerning of what is good will allow us to do what is good. I don't think the fruit of the Spirit here is in any way a disjointed attribute. Again, it is that goodness that God cultivates in us that allows us to rightly believe, be motivated, think, and act in ways that please him. And so I want to look at this last verse that mentions goodness that pulls some of these thoughts together. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul writes, "With this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith." So I love, again, here how everything is brought together. Paul is praying for the Thessalonians that God would make them worthy of his calling. So what is God doing in them? He's making them worthy. But how? God, by his power, is bringing to fruition. So again, there's that fruit metaphor that God is cultivating, working in them. Their every desire for goodness and every deed prompted by faith. So they're trusting God. They're wanting good things. And God is working these things out in and through them. So that, again, when we look at one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, our expectation is that there would be good fruit, that there would be good reactions and good actions and good deeds, and that all of these things we glorify God for because we understand that that is the result of His Spirit working in us, which is also the reason why if we don't see good coming from our brothers and sisters, that there is reason to pause and talk and pray again, because this should be us, that we would do good. And again, not that good is anything, a way to commend ourselves. It's a result. It's an expectation that we have because of who the Holy Spirit is and because we know that we have the Holy Spirit. Bring things together for a close tonight. Goodness. We see so much of it reflected in the world, and we feel like we can't get enough of it. But God is good, and we can enjoy Him forever. As we've considered the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we can see that we are a broken people that rely on His cultivating work in us to reflect the God who created us. For us to be properly aligned with what God intends, we trust God to work through us, but we must also be filled with the knowledge of Him. We must receive good instruction. For that, we must also use discernment. So I can tell you that if you need or want recommendations for resources to study the Bible, that Pastors Doug and Micah and myself, that we are more than capable of creating list upon list of things that you can read and study and listen to or watch. I can tell you for myself that I have a tentative reading list that its duration is going to be longer than my natural life. I joke with my wife all the time, I need to go to prison so I can catch up on my reading. I have to be broken, sick, or in prison. That's what it's going to take for me to ever catch up on all the reading that I would like to do. But again, discerning what is good includes doing what is good. So as Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, by His power He may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. And so let us look to our Creator who is good and reflect His goodness by trusting Him and doing what He created us to do. Love Him and love others, doing good as He is good and has made us to do good by His Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You're good. We thank You that You have good intentions for Your children. We thank You that You give good gifts to Your children. We thank You for the Spirit that is the down payment, is the guarantee, Father, that we know that You are working in us and through us, and Father, that You will complete Your work in us. And though we deal with times of suffering and frustration, as we deal with failing bodies and a broken world, as we look at and see so much of the world that is not good, Father, we trust You because we know that You are good. And we trust You and know that You are powerful enough to bring about Your good will. And so, Father, as we leave here tonight, I pray that we would have the joy of knowing who You are. And we have the joy of knowing that You will work in us good things. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.